Start at the bottom, quickly review. We're at the bottom of Pei Bav Amud Bet. We just finished up the Mishnah, and the Gemara says, Lememra, right, the conclusion from our Mishnah is the Yani Ota Dafkahu, right? That Yani Ota, the Ota is Dafka this her, and not anyone else, and her Nether, and not anyone else's Nether. So we spoke about the Ran yesterday. What do we do about the Kiyama Nether? That he learns it from law. Now the Gemara is going to challenge whether we always say such a thing. Right, al. Right, so tearing one's clothes for Avelus, it says al twice. Dichtiv al Shaul v'al Yonatan b'no. Right, after when they get the news of Shaul and Yonatan and they're tearing kriya over it, v'tanya. And we have a brace on this. Amrulu meis aviv v'kara. That someone, he gets news that his father passed away and he tears kriya for that. V'achakach nimtza b'no. Finds out that it wasn't his father who passed away, but rather his son that passed away. Yotza yidei kriya. It's a good kriya. So now, how you can explain this? Over there they have, we have a mute, or a lashon, a mute of al. And yet, the brace states that if one does a kriya for the wrong individual, and then finds out it's another, does it for someone, and then finds out it's a different person, that they're yotze kriya. So why don't we say the same thing by a fara here? Do a fara for one, for the wife, that it should be good enough for the daughter. Why is it by a fara we don't accept that, whereas by kriya we do accept it? And where it says, well, that's lokasha, habistam, habimfarish. And so there's a difference. By kriya, it depends how he was korea. Two possibilities. One is tear kriya specifically for an individual, meaning that he's tearing kriya, so it's over his father or over his son. And then if he does that, then the kriya will not be sufficient or will not be a valid kriya for the other party that he finds out about. Whereas if he tears kriya stam, he doesn't say what it's for, or why he's tearing kriya, then the kriya is not to a particular individual. If it's not to a particular individual, then the kriya can be used for another person. So the same thing, I don't know if the Gemara's not saying this by Hafara, but it's the difference between this and Hafara. By Hafara, you have to be maker for the specific nether, specific person. And therefore, when you make that Hafara towards a specific person, by definition, you can't use that Hafara for someone else. And therefore, if he has mistakenly does a hafara for his wife, then it's not going to be good for his daughter. The same would be true by kriya. If he mistakenly does a kriya for his father, that will not be good for his son. Whereas if he stomps as kriya, right, then that kriya could work both for his father or son, depending which one came first or second. So the Gemara says, v'hatanya, and we have a braisa here, v'hatanya is b'nichusa. I'm going to read it. There's two gersos in the Gemara here. The gers that reads v'hatanya here is b'nichusa amalo meis aviv, v'kara acharkach, right, v'kara, and then he hears that his father passed away, and he tears kriya, v'acharkach nimsa b'no, finds out that it's really his son, not his father, lo yotzei de kriya, then he's not yotzei kriya, amalo meis, lo meis, right? They say to him, someone and you have a karov that passed away. Uchlisov or avivu, and he thinks it's his father, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know who the karov is. He thinks it's his father. Vikara, and then he says, kriya v'achakach nimsa b'no, yotze yidei kriya. And then afterwards finds out that it's his son, then he's yotze yidei kriya, because he tore kriya stam for a karov. And he's just not sure, you know, there's almost like a breira situation where he finds out who the karov is afterwards that he is tearing kriya for.
There's always that, even though you had kavana, there's always that element of uncertainty.
Right, because they didn't tell him. They only give him news that meis lo meis. Right, now, this is the girsa that the Ran has, others have this girsa, which is the Atanya here, is a nichusa. And then, Rav Ashi is going to actually make a statement here. And the statement of Rav Ashi is somewhat detached. Rav Ashi gives another solution. Right, another solution, but has nothing to do with the statement before. On the other hand, there are those that have a girsa. The Rosh brings down a girsa like this. Rashi has such a girsa that the brisa that we just read reads like this. Amrulo mesaviv v'kara, and he tears kriya. V'achakach nimsa b'no lo yotzei de kriya. He's not yotzei kriya, period. That's the end of it. So now you have this brisa is a stira with the brisa that we just read, right? Even though he's dumb. So the Gemara is at the stira, and then Amar Ravashi is going to come to reconcile the stira between this brisa and the first brisa we brought down. So those are two ways to read the Gemara. We'll read it the way we have it in our Gemara's right now. I think the Ran and others lean in the favor of this girsa, that it is a the brisa here is an ichusa, it's in support of the first brisa. And then now Rav Ashi comes and makes a separate statement with a separate halacha, which is Rav Ashi Amar, kan betol kedei dibor, kan li akar kedei dibor. Right? So now, had the kamar, that you said yotze yidei kriya, when are yotze yidei kriya, shenim tse beno betol kedei dibor, he finds out about his son within the time frame or time lapse of betol kedei dibor, which we'll explain in a second. Vada amar lo yotze yidei kriya, when he says it's not yotze yidei kriya, akar kedei dibor. That's after kedei dibor. So what Rav Ashi is addressing, again, according to the second gear that we write down, is addressing the stira and the brises. Why does one brise say you're yotze, and one brise say you are not yotze yidei kriya? Rav Ashi reconciles the two brises by saying it has to do with how soon after do you hear the second news. I mean, that tol kedei dibor, which is a time frame, we're going to talk about again, time lapse, that amount of time is considered to be a single moment. Right? You're not considered into a different moment or a different partition in time until tol kedei dibor passes. So as long as the news is within tol kedei dibor, your kriya could be valid for both the father or find out about his son or his son. Right? After tol kedei dibor, you're in two distinct or discrete points of time. And since you're in two discrete compartments of time, then the kriya that worked before will not work for the other news that you find out. So again, either that, according to the second gear, so we have where the second brisa was considered a question on the first brisa, Rav actually is reconciling the brisa. Right? And then the other possibility is that Rav Ashi is just explaining this brisa that we brought down in Yechusa. He's explaining the internally that brisa, right? What is the difference, right, between them? And if you look in the Ran says Rav Ashi lo atali fluge ahaydino tibistam vade modebe toliyatsa dikriya. He's not arguing on the differentiation we made between stam and faresh, but rather that brisa mukha behejid the stam yotzu b'kaygav nami mitzari mahanya hafar ba'kama. The heichid lo nitchok tapshim de brisa tani amelo mesaviv lav tapka piruk shini achrinam. So the Rav Ashi is coming to answer our first brisa that you don't have to answer up that it's stam and faresh, but rather just to explain that brisa based on tol kedei dibor and not tol kedei dibor. So he doesn't argue on the ikar din that stam and faresh will be different, but he offers an alternative to why the brisa says that when he hears about his son, he's yotze yidei kriya in the first brisa that we brought. Now the Gemara says, hadamart leyotze yidei kriya lachotei dibor v'hatanya. Now according to everyone, this brisa is b'nichusa, this is support of Rav Ashi's position. Meshiyesh lo chole b'toch beito v'nit alech. As someone was sick, deathly ill in the house, v'nit alech, and he, well, here he passed away, but he passed out. Not passed away, right? And they thought he died. Vikara, and he tears kriya. Vachar kakmes, then he actually dies. Right? So I mean, at the time that he did it, it didn't die. Lo yotze yidei kriya. That kriya is not sufficient, because the first kriya was torn when he was still alive. That's only if he passed away, meaning that in the point when you thought they passed away and they actually passed away is not within a toch kedei dibor. About toch kedei dibor, if that happened within a moment, single moment or momentary lapse of time, kedei dibor dami, and therefore it would be considered one entity. If he tore kriya, it's as if he tore kriya when he died. The hilchosa, the loch is toch kedei dibor kedibor dami. But this has a huge ramifications throughout halacha about toch kedei dibor. Whenever something is toch kedei dibor, it's kedei dibor. I mean, chutz, the exceptions to this rule are megadeif, ovei devodas kachavim, umekadesh, umegarish. So megadeif is someone who is mevarech Hashem, someone who curses the name of Hashem, right? Ovei devodas kachavim is someone who says, right, to a bodhisattva, Eliata, you are my God, right, that also. And he tries to reverse it within toch kedei dibor. That reversal is not meaningful. Again, someone who is kalal Hashem, also if he reverses it with toch kedei dibor, it's not meaningful. Umekadesh, someone who does kiddushin, right? That's not. Umegaresh, or divorces, none of these toch kedei dibors will have any meaning. Toch kedei dibor will not be meaningful. The question is why, which we'll have to deal with in a second. Now toch kedei dibor, right? What is toch kedei dibor? So the general assumption is that the Gemara says in other places it means shalom, right? So shalom alecha Rebbe. That you have to the amount of time it says for a person to say shalom alecha Rebbe, and that's Gemara wants, and the Ron's going to bring this down in a second, but the Gemara wanted the person to have the ability to greet their Rebbe properly without having that greeting take them out of whatever they're doing right now. And halachically, it should not remove them from that which they're involved in. So if they do the proper thing and greet the Rebbe when he answers, then that should not undermine whatever they are involved in. So Tochadei Dibor was the amount of time set to create something to be a single moment in time rather than discrete moments in time. So Shalom Alecha Rebbe, there are those, I think, brought down, the Mishnah brings down, that it also might be Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. Right? And on the word Mori, might also get into an extra couple of seconds. But alright,
that's a good mid-hack, I can say Shalom Alecha Rebbe very slowly.
Right, to gain more time. So Halacha comes up in many places.
It's a really long name.
So it's no name, no names here. So,
no, right?
Yeah, but... So you have it, for instance, by Rosh Hashanah, we have it by, if a person says Hakel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, and he has Tochadei Dibor to reverse himself. And does it just points in time, anything that's Tochadei Dibor, by Edus we have this. A person, if they give Edus, right, that either multiple Edim have to be speak within Tochadei Dibor, it's considered, right, a Kat Edim, or if they want to, right, as far as to be Miyad, actually, as far as have to be Miyad. I don't even think of Tochadei Dibor. Right. But that's not, Harah's not a reversal issue, it's an issue that it has to be Tzomot, it has to be Tekef, it has to be right before the action. Maybe Tochadei Dibor. But Tochadei Dibor is a measure in general. We consider something to be a single unit, or we consider it to be discrete units. Because, again, luckily for Dibor, for Edus, for all these different things, that's Tochadei Dibor. So it's over here. Kriya, if you tear Kriya, and you want to know, is your Kriya Shayach to, right, is your Kriya Shayach to the race that died here, well, that's only if the Kriya is within a Tochadei Dibor of the death. Tochadei Dibor of the death brings you into the same...
meaning that it was before that it preceded
it. Preceded. The Kriya preceded the death, but if it's within Tochadei Dibor, that's already considered within the prime, that you're in the moment of the death. Right afterwards, you're chayav to tear Kriya, right, until any point in time, because as soon as you get the news, even Shmir Rechoka, you have to tear Kriya at the time of Shmir Rechoka. I have another time, actually comes up a lot, is in Kaddish. Right? When people say Kaddish, and you have people moving at different paces through the Kaddish, and you want to answer, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabo, right? So is that considered to be, when, do you have to answer twice because there are different people at different paces, or is one sufficient? So again, that's if you say Amen Yehei Shmei Rabo, and the other person reaches within, generally, within the time that you say Amen Yehei Shmei Rabo, you don't have to repeat it. It's considered as if you're answering for both Kaddish. So again, it comes up a lot in halacha. Now, we have to understand, first of all, is this halacha principle a rabbinic institution or a Torah institution? That's number one. And number two is, why are there exceptions to the rule? Why are these exceptions to the rule? So the Ron, we can see it in the Ron, I would tell you, when I read it, I had my idea of what it is. I think the Ron, in his second answer, comes to this. His answer also says the same thing, which seems to me that that's the same thing. You look. Let's look there on the bottom first. It's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. Seven lines from the bottom, it says in the middle of that line, V'ra'iti the Rabbeinu Moshe Bar Nachman. See that? Rabbeinu. It says, V'ra'iti the Rabbeinu Moshe Bar Nachman Zal, V'perek Yosh Nochlev, Shekota B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam Zal, D'toch K'dei Dibor, K'dibor Dani, Takantahu D'tikun Rabbanan. So Takanis Rabbanan, it's all rabbinic in nature. Toch K'dei Dibor is a Rabbanan. Mishom, Talmud Alokeach Mekach, that person who is transacting, Upaga bo rabo, and his Rebbe walks in, you call the tain lo shalom, so that he can act appropriately when his Rebbe walks in without undermining that which he's involved with. Behishru midotayam b'chol mile bar mihani. The chamim, right, equated or had a low plug, the Tochadei Dibor will create a single moment in all halachic issues, right, except for these that are mentioned here. And all of these happen to be issues of the oraisa, right, velo nekli. The Ron says, I don't like this answer that the Ramban gives. V'chi beizdin matin akar dover min ha-Torah l'olam b'kum b'aseh nedarim elevadik d'amad. He says, now, if this is the case, the Tochadei Dibor has relevance, Right? That means that you are okay. Mina Torah, Tocha de Dibor is not relevant. In that if you do something within Tocha de Dibor, you reverse yourself, you change your mind within Tocha de Dibor. For instance, a person goes to be making the net, and with Tocha de Dibor, he reverses himself, says, no, I really want to be maker it. Then Mina Torah, that was a meaningless statement. Your Kiyom is a Kiyom, and your reversal is meaningless, Mina Torah. And yet, what are we going to say? We're going to say, Mina Torah, the Rabbanan are going to say that your Hafara is a good Hafara because of Tocha de Dibor. That's the case. The Rabbanan now have been Oker Nidarin, right? Be'ikum Basim. Again, we say that generally the Rabbanan have the right to be Oker and Mitzvah Mina Torah when it says shave the Al-Patsim when you're passive. Over here, you're saying to the woman, he said, I'm a kaim the nether. I'm made for the nether. Right? By doing that, in a Torah, that is a kiyum the nether. The chacham come along and say, we have a tokanas the rabbanon, the tocha de dibor is considered the same moment. So now when you said, I'm a kaim the nether, I'm made for the nether, that hafara, right, is a good hafara. The woman now is gonna go and violate the nether. That nether is a good nether, midoraisa, because he was mekayim the nether. And yet, midorabanan, she's gonna be ochre, bekumba asay the nether. And says, never heard of such a thing, that the rabbanan can be ochre something, right, midoraisa, when it comes to rabbinic law, bekumba asay. Just doesn't make any sense. So the Ran rejects this explanation that it's a rabbinic institution that tocha de dibor should work.
Now, the example that you gave, let's say, by Farrakhan, the assumption is that we're talking about a case where he actually changed his mind.
Right, not the right thing to say.
He misspoke and then corrected it.
Correct. As I said, I realized that it can't be a mistake. It has to be that he's changing his mind, reversing his decision. Correct.
So, but by Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to give shalom to your Rebbe at times that you're allowed to give shalom to a king.
Right. There's different parts along the way there.
Yeah. But even in those cases, why not?
Right. What do you mean, why not?
Because they deal with the deal with them. I mean, if I'm saying Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, then I'm not interrupting the Kriya Shema.
Well, that's maybe, so that might be a difference right there, which I would say that Tocha de Dibor can be considered. I'll give you an example. The example is by Hakel HaKadosh on Rosh Hashanah. If you say Hakel HaKadosh, you have to repeat Shemon Esrei. You have to start from the beginning of Shemon Esrei. If you talk a day deeper, you switch and say Amel HaKadosh, that's considered valid reversal of your decision to say Akel HaKadosh. If before talk a day deeper, you begin the next Rakhat HaKwanein, you're done. You can't reverse yourself anymore. All right? So you can, there's, so the reason I'm giving you that example is to show you that Tocha de Dibor is not a absolute, point that it's considered one time period. So the same thing with Kriyat Shema. The problem with Kriyat Shema is not that it has to be, you have to say Kriyat Shema within a single moment. You can say Kriyat Shema over a long period of time. It has to be Tocha de Ligmor, right? The amount of time it takes you to finish Kriyat Shema. You could have gaps in Kriyat Shema. Those are only gaps of silence. If you have gaps there, someone speaks in between, then that is right. That is, it's not a problem of, okay, you're within a single time period. It's a problem that you're mopsik with another dibur. Right? So that's, you have to differentiate between whether we're looking for a single moment, a single discrete time, versus when we're looking for something that you're not mopsik with something else.
Also, the application of Tocha de Dibor here is reversing something that you just said.
Right.
Whereas the application that you were talking about was
in
actually saying Shalom Aleichem Rebbe.
Right.
It wasn't to reverse something.
Right. Although based on what the Ramban is saying is that you would actually be saying that the whole institution was made so that you could say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe without it being considered a problem. But again, I think the application is a more general application of what's considered one discrete moment.
A Mekach is not with that. A Mekach is. But
it's not something where an interruption will undermine
that,
right?
The story.
Exactly. So now let's go to the Ran's explanation. This is what I thought when I read it. This is what I would. I thought about. If you skip out, I'm sorry.
The
Ramban. This is the Ramban's opinion. Yeah.
So, I mean, is according to the Ramban? Is the Ramban holding that it could be? I mean, do we know if the Ramban's holding that if it's deraisa or
the Rabbanan? Yes, he's the Rabbanan.
Definitely, the Rabbanan.
Yeah, it's an institution, a rabbinic institution, according to the Ramban. So Ran's going to reject. Ran says you have to have kumbase by a Rabbanan, where you're undermining the that which is a deraisa. I mean, you could argue, which is that the institution that it's recognized deraisa, the Rabbanan just set the parameters in which. When do people move from, like, when is it considered, let's say this, when is it considered changing your mind versus when is it considered correcting that which you said? And all the Rabbanim would say, well, so how do we know when you are correcting yourself versus when you are changing your mind. That is totally dibur. I mean, they set the standard by which we decide, an objective standard by which we decide when are you. A reversal is considered really you've done something, action, and now you're trying to reverse that action versus, or it's simply like, so you're stating, even though it's really changing your mind, but it will be considered a valid reversal as if the first action didn't have validity, right, within the Tochadei Dibur. So I assume that's how the Ramban can explain this and say that, yes, it's a rabbinic institution, but the rabbinic institution is just explaining how do we objectively know when a person is changing their mind, they're taking a full action and changing their mind, versus when they are just, right, still in the midst of their first action and trying to, right, get it out right or do it right in the first place. Right, now the Ran says no, and says it's the Nirban, we're going to go backwards now, up two lines from where we started, two more lines up from where we started, four lines from where we are now, it says in the, towards the, like, the last third of that line, it says Venir Be'enai in the Ran, Venir Be'enai, you see that? So he says, "Lo yadana mashne hani man alu the rabban hakam." Near Beinai, the sharmili the lo chamire kulei hai. The rest of items, other things where it's not so chomer. Shadim also tam lo bikmar data hu osel data shiachol atzor bo tochadei dibor. Generally, when a person takes an action, he doesn't have finality to that which he does because he always thinks maybe I'll change my mind about it. Right? You know, it's like when you go to book a flight. Person makes reservations, right? They're always in the back of their mind. They're thinking, oh, I could change this. I may not do this. Even if I pay for it, I can pay the penalty. I can get out.
They have reservations.
So they have, very good. They have reservations about it. That's correct. So they have, anytime you take an action, a person doesn't see finality in their action. And that's why the Tochadei Dibur works, because the person's not Gomer Das, he always has the back of his mind that he might reverse this, he might take this out. Whereas, Avahani, these that are listed here in that are exceptions to the rule, came into Kamire Kule Hai, since they are of such stringent nature, meaning that they are statements or actions that are of such a formidable nature, the person doesn't say this unless he's there and ready to make a complete statement. Reversal is not an option in these cases. The person goes to a Avodah Zarah and says Eliyata, that is such a right severe and dramatic action that a person can't be thinking, oh, maybe, let me see if I'm going to reverse this. That is right so powerful that the person would only say it and only take such an action when they were there, ready to do it, and a full, you know, sound bind body and all the things that would take it to be having Gemara Sadas, and therefore we don't allow them to reverse it. Say the Kiddushin, Gerushin, these are actions of some substantive nature that we don't say Tochadei Dibur is meaningful anymore, because the person who takes such an action is done, right, as Gemara Sadas. There's other items where we say Tochadei Dibur, a person is, never has Gemara Sadas. He still has some reservations, as our good friend Daniel said that has has left over in his mind residual doubts, and that Gemara Sadas only happens in a little bit afterwards after he it sinks in that which he's done or that's what he said, and therefore Tochadei Dibur will allow to be reversed. Whereas the Ran seems to be saying this is a De'oraita principle. It's a principle of De'oraita about Gemara Sadas, and that Tochadei Dibur is the establishment of the amount of time it takes for a person to have, after they've done something, or taken an action, or said something, for it to sink in, is Tochadei Dibur, is the Gemara Sadas of what they've said. Because many times people speak, and they don't really, you know, they're not so focused on what they're saying, until it sinks in right afterwards, right? Many times, person, you by mistake, you say something, right? And then only, like, right afterwards, you realize, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said this. But it takes a second for that to sink in. So that's the Tochadei Dibur, is that amount of time to have that Gemara Sadas. And within that time period, you can reverse that which you said. Whereas in the examples where we said it's an exception to the rule of Tochadei Dibur, those are items where the severity or the implications of these items are so great that a person has to have forethought, right? It has to be premeditated that they do such a thing, and that we don't say that they have these residual doubts that allow them, or the impact that they've done does not sink in afterwards, but must have sunk in before they did it at the moment they've done it. Alright, a little difference between the Ran and the Ramban. So it's just big, and again, Tochadei Dibur for us isn't so much part of our lexicon, but everything we do in halakhically has implications of Tochadei Dibur. It's interesting whether it's a principle d'oraisa or only a principle d'rabbana. All right, next mishnah. Amra, she says, "Kone teinim ve'anovim elu She restricts on herself both figs and grapes. Shani Tlamet, that I will taste them. Kayem l'kayenim kulo kayam. The husband only is mekayem a portion of the nether, the father only mekayem a portion of the nether, which refers to tayenim, then he's kulo kayam, the whole thing is bam. Hey for the tayenim, but if he's mefer for only a portion of the nether, ainu mufar, achi afer apta anavim. It's not mufar until he is mefer for the anavim. The Ran here has two, all the Rishonim have two explanations. It says ainu mufar achi afer la apta anavim. Does that mean that the hafara for the tayenim is good? In that you can have a partial hafara, and the hafara for the tainim is good, but it just doesn't work like kiyum. Where kiyum, when you mekayim half the nether, the whole nether is mekuyam, and you don't have to do anything more. By hafara, when you're made for half the nether, only the tainim, that'll be good enough for the tainim, but not good enough for the anavim. Or, when we say inum mufar, it means it didn't work at all. Hafara for half the nether is not a good hafara, and whatever you did was meaningless, and you're not made for both the Tainim and the Anavim. Those are two possibilities if I had to read the Mishnah at this point. Mufar Jefer Adav Anavim. Amra Kodim Teina Shanito Emet, Vanava Shanito Emet, Harelu Shanito Rim. If she puts, separates out the two objects with Shanito Emet, Shanito Emet, that divides them into two Nedarim. What's the Nafkumina if it's two Nedarim versus one Nedar? That means if he's Mekayim only one of them, it doesn't impact the other. If he's made for only one of them, it doesn't impact on the other. I mean, if there's two discrete, two separate Nidarim. If they're two separate Nidarim, then the Kiyum and Afar will be independent for each one of them. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Mani Masnisan. Who's the author of Mishnah? Rabbi Shmuel. It's Rabbi Shmuel the Tanya. You have a brisa, Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yiferenu. But the Pasuk says that Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yiferenu. Amra Konim Te'enim Vanavim Elushanito Emet, Kayim Lute'enim Kulo Kayam. From that Pasuk we learn out that if you Mekayim a portion of the nether, you Mekayim the whole nether. Hey for the Tainim, Ein Mufar Chiefer Achlan Abim, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. He's made for the Tainim, he's not Mufar until he's also Mufar the Anavim. So again, you can read this two ways. In that, Einu Mufar Ah Lanavim, right? Einu Mufar Chi for Ah Lanavim. Einu Mufar means the whole nether is not Mufar until you do the Anavim, or the nether is not Mufar at all until you also do the Anavim, until you do the entire nether. Deeper Rabbi Shmuel, Kiv Omer, Hari Omer, Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yifrenu. Ma Yikimenu Mimenu, Af Yifrenu Mimenu. So Rabbi Kiva pulls out the old hekesh between Hafara and Hakama, but he learns it the opposite way. So we're going to see in one second. What is the limud of Rabbi Shmuel? Let's start with that. Why does Rabbi Shmuel believe that by Hakama, right, that you require the entire, if you make him a portion of it, you're making the whole thing? Whereas Yefiren, by Hafara, that's not the case. His limud comes from the pasuk, Isha Yikimenu. Right? The word Yikimenu is a conjunction of Yakim Mimenu. Mimenu means from a portion of it. So Yikimenu, right, they're learning as, right, Yakim Mimenu. If he's making a portion of it, then Kulo Kayam. That you don't have by Yefirenu. Yefirenu, right, has that learned that way because you're missing that mem there. You know, again, this is not proper grammar for the lima there. I mean, Yikimenu is because the mem belongs to the Yakim part of it, not because it belongs to the Mimenu part of it. But because of that, Rabbi Shmuel learns Yikimenu is Yakim Mimenu. Portion of it will be Yakim, whereas by Hafara you don't have such a lima because you only have Heferenu, right, and not Hefer Mimenu. Right, you don't have that limud by Rabbi Shmuel.
Why not? I don't understand.
This is not proper grammar. This is obviously a mesora to have such a limud.
But why? I don't understand the chiluk between the mem and the resh.
He's darshaning the mem to be belong to the word mimenu as also, not just to the word yakim.
I understand, because there's such a word as mimenu, and there's no such a word as rerenu.
Right, okay. Exactly. I'm saying, but it's not, grammatically, it's not the case, because the mem belongs to the yakim and not to the mimenu, but that's the drusha that he has. Okay. Right, so that's how Rabbi Shmuel learns.
Yeah,
but then you have the same problem with Yefirenu, then, right? Whatever drusha you have for one should apply to the other, because they're both written grammatically the same way. Right? I'm pointing it out. I'm just saying, but that's the limit that he had.
That's what Rabbi Akiva says, basically.
Well, Rabbi Akiva goes the other way. Rabbi Akiva says, well, since there's no limit by Yefirenu, there's no limit by Yikimenu. That's basically Rabbi Akiva's lesson. says just like by Yafir.
Right. Says you keep a second. Either it's both or neither.
Right. So you write a parallel. You got to run that parallel here. Okay, so that Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yishai Yikimenu Bishai Yifrenu, Ma Yikimenu Mimenu, Af Yifrenu Mimenu. Just like Yikimenu is a portion of it, Af Yifrenu is a portion of it. But Yisrael Tiv, Mi Kiv, Yafer Mimenu, doesn't say Yafer Mimenu. So it says, Rabbi Kiva, Make Yishafar La Kama, Ma Kama Mimenu, Af Afar Mimenu, you're right, it's not written there, but we're going to have a case that draws them together. Right, so again, it doesn't make it sound like he believes that. You go just Yikimenu. You're right. It only says about Hakama, but I'm going to be Mikish Hakama to Hafara. So Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Kiva. This is the position of Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Kiva. Chamim Orim, Mikish Hakama Hafara. Let's learn it the other way around. Ma Hafara, Mash Hefer Hefer, Apakama Mishkiyem Kiyem. All right. So the way Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel learn is that they believe generally that the Hakama, if you do a partial hakama, it is a full hakama. But Rishon Rabbi Kiva do not disagree with that. If you do any portion of it, your kimbi menu, then the whole thing is mikuyam. The only argument is, what's the status of hafara? Can you do a partial hafara, or you have to do a whole hafara? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, a partial hafara is meaningless. Only a full hafara, right, works. Whereas Rabbi Kiva believes, no, we have a hekesh between hakama and hafara, and therefore, just like a partial hakama works to be making, so too a partial hafara will be work to be maker. The chachamim come along and say, wait a minute, none of these work. Partial hakama, right, is no good, and neither is a partial hafara. I mean, no good in the sense that it doesn't make it into a full hakama and doesn't make it into a full hafara. We're going to start with hafara, right? A partial hafara works for part of it, right, and for the other part, it's not mufar. Whereas, and then we're going to be making shakama to hafara. Right? Just like hafara, a partial hafara works for a portion of it and not for the full amount, so too over here, hakama for a portion of it will work for a portion of it and not for the full. Which is against both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, right? So that's what we understand from here. Now, based on this, you have to understand that the gears of the chachamim makes a difference to what we learned in the Mishnah. Right? In the Mishnah, we learned that there are two possibilities of when you did a partial hafara, what would happen, right? If you did a partial hafara, it works for a portion of it, and doesn't work for the other half of it, or we say it doesn't work at all. Now, according to the girsa, it doesn't work at all. It makes sense that, but what are the chachamim coming along and saying here? Ma hafara that works partially should work fully, should work partially by hakama. We didn't have that. It didn't work at all in the Mishnah. So it depends on what the girsa is. The Rambam says that the girsa in the chachamim here will determine what you think the Mishnah was saying. So you look in the Ran, look in the Ran, it says, Avachachamim amim ekish hakam lafara, mafara mash hefer hefer. Zuhi girsa desfaran, this is our girsa, which we have, right? The fizeh, adatan hefer letenim inu mufar kola neder kamar, aval mash hefer mufar. Right? When our Mishnah, when the Chachamim say, when you do hafara, it means a partial hafara, right? And that which stands, what you did on part of it is good, that which is not, the rest is not good. That's what our Mishnah meant when it said any mufar. Elevadai, I'm just going to skip down. Skip down in the Ron, skip about five lines down in the Ron from where we are now. Elevadai, you know that line there, five lines down, it says Elevadai, you see that? Right before it says Perg Zion, two lines up from where it says Perg Zion in the Ron there. Elevadai, the figure says Zu, Mashu, the Kulu Modu, Mashu, Hufar, Hufar, everybody agrees. Even the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are going to agree that whatever you did a far work did for does work. It just doesn't get extended to the rest of the nether. Right? But about the Tosefta, lo mashmahok, and the Tosefta doesn't sound like this. The Tanya Hotam Nadra minatainu minanovim, hefer detainim lo hefer lanovim, b'chashka asura ben detainim ben banovim. But the Tosefta, it sounds like when you do a partial hafara, not only is it not good for the part you didn't weren't made fair, it's not even good for the part that you were made fair. Almainu mufar klal kamar. That there's another girsa in the Chachamim's position about Chachamim omri my hafara mashehper lo gufar, right? Af hakama mashekiyem lo kiyem. Chen girsas have been Rabbeinu Moshe Bar Nachman the Ramban behilchotav. Right? So then, based on the way you learn the Mishnah, will determine what you say the position of the Chachamim is here in hafara. Right? So if you believe that the Mishnah is that when we said that when you do hafara, it means that if you were made for the ta'inim, then the anavim are not mufar, but the ta'inim are mufar. That works with the gears that we have in our gemara here, where the chum say, masha hefer hefer, therefore masha kiyayim kiyayim. Right, that works with our gears. But if you believe in our Mishnah, when it says that when you're made for partial the neder, it's not mufar at all, right? Meaning that it's not hafar at all, and you can't say here in the right, you can't say that, but the Chum say, oh, just like hafara is a partial hafara is a hafara, you can't say that over here. You have to say that, and they say over here, it means eno mufar, that they when you do a partial hafara, it doesn't work at all, so to a partial kiyum will not work at all. The Gears and the Chumim here will also be dependent on how you read the eno mufar in the Mishnah. The two are connected. The Ron says they're both yourselves. We have those different yourselves, and those different yourselves will impact on how we learn the Mishnah. That's why I presented both when we learned the Mishnah. But now you see that the issue is really determined by how the Chachamim are presented in this Gemara here. It says the Ramban has a Girsa, not like an Argemara, which suggests that when you do a partial Afara, it does not work at all. Not does it work, that it works partially. All right, Amra Kunim Te'ina, right, the second half of our Mishnah that said that if she separates the Te'ina by Anito Emet, Anito Emet, Amarava Masnisin Rabbi Shimon, our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon, we had this early in the Sechta, that Rabbi Shimon said, when do we consider something to be different Nidarim? How do we say that, when is the difference between something being one Nidar and five Nidarim? That is when you repeat the Ikar Lashon, when you repeat Shavua. And so by Shavuot, if you say, the person says Shavua, l'cha, 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 if he says Shavua to you, to you, to you, that's all one nether. Until you say Shavua, l'cha, Shavua, l'cha, Shavua, l'cha, until you repeat the word Shavua, which separates the lusha that was unnecessary, that separates between them. So it's over here. In order to separate between Ein Te'inim and Anavim, right, she has to add the lashon of Anito Emet. That lashon of Anito Emet is gonna, you could have just simply said Te'inim Anyamish Anito Emet, you could have said one Anito Emet for both of them. The fact that we require, that you've said Anito Emet by both of them, that extra lashon teaches me that she's really separating out the Nedarim, and that's Rabbi Shimon's position, that until you explicitly differentiate between the different components of the Nedar, they are considered one Nedar.
If a person says Te'inim Shanito Emet, okay. It doesn't say Kona, that's an edit.
No.
No.
So it's
no, because you could have just said Konaim, Anavim, Tainim, Anavim, Shani, Toemet. You could have said the two of them together. You could have joined them together in a single neder. The fact that you separated them by any Toemet already, according to Shim, is sufficient to create that separation in the neder.
I understand that. There's not the Iker Lashon.
Right. In fact, that was probably my mistake. I said that Iker Lashon and neder. It just has to be that.
It's the community of power that we're turning.
Right.
It's like the two that are.
Well, that's it. That beyond the object, you've added other things to the neder. Right? Maybe that's a better way to say it. Right? That was my mistake, that I said the Iker Lashon Aneder, which would be a Shavua, a codename, should be repeated. Here it's Ani Toemet is a Lashon that...
But repeating the Ishani, you intended it to be separate.
Separate Nedarim, because you could have joined them together in a single Nether. In fact, that you repeat it. Again, I'm not sure. When you say Tainim Shani Toemet, a question of that's a Yad Nether, right? Meaning whether that works or not. You're missing codename. Right, you're missing the basic Lashonos, and it's a question whether you need that puzzle.
But if you say She'ini Tomas, then that's...
That may be more. That's like more likely to be it's a Neder, Yad Neder, right? She'ini Tomas would be much more likely. All right. Next, all right, Mishnah. Yodeani She'ish Nedarim. Avalkini Yodea She'ish Mefirin. I know that there are such things as Nedarim, but I don't know that you can be made for such Nedarim. Yefer, then he is able to be made for the nether when he finds out that you're allowed to be made for these nedarim. Yodei ani sheyesh mefirim. I know that there are those that you can be made for nedarim. But yodei ani sheyesh mefirim. But I didn't know this was a nether. Right? I know that you can be made for a nether. I just didn't know this is a nether. Rabbi Meir Omer lo yefer. You lost your chance. Come here, me, yefer, that you can be made for the nether. All right. Let's just. All right, we'll read it in a second. We'll read the Gemara and then what? All right, let me see if this is worth doing tomorrow. Maybe this is a lot of this is worth doing tomorrow. Reminu, the Gemara asks, below Ra'ot. It says that something that happens, right, there's a circumstance, right, that takes place, a shogeg. A person is b'shogeg, kills somebody. And it says by the Shkiga, below Ra'ot, he did not see it. Prat the Summa, Divri Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that excludes the Summa, because the Summa would never have seen the situation. I mean, the fact that he killed them without seeing is not relevant because he is a shogeg here. It's not because he is a shogeg, it's because he wouldn't have seen it anyway. I mean, that even if he was intending to kill this person, it wouldn't have meaning over here because it was below Ra'ot, right? Now, Rabbi Yehuda, that's different Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, the rabbi did the summa. No, the other way around, it comes to include a summa over here. Includes the summa because below Ra'ot means that even if he does not see it, right, below Ra'ot, he didn't see it, so a summa did not see it either. And therefore he would be considered a shogeg. Now, what exactly the Gemara is after here, what the question on the Gemara is, Rabbi Meir is found in our Mishnah. Right? And the Baal Machlokas of Rameir usually is Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda is in our Mishnah, Rameir is in our Mishnah. The question here is, the Gemara now brought down a Braisa that has Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in it, and it seems to be that it's a question on our Mishnah. That's why we use the term Biriminu. Who is the question not in our Mishnah? It's a question both on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara sees Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir's positions reversed here in this Braisa, and that's what they're asking on the Mishnah. Or is the question simply on Rabbi Meir's position in the Mishnah? And that's what the Ran spends time on here. I think maybe we'll leave that for tomorrow because it's really relevant to all. So tomorrow is tomorrow, and otherwise we'll already be halfway down the daf for tomorrow. I think, you know, we'll stop here and explain it tomorrow. But generally here you see that we darshan right over here that it says that in biyom shamo, right, the day that you hear it. What is considered the day that you hear it? Right?
Comprehend what's involved.
Right, or when you actually hear it. And the question on below Ra'ot is the same question here. Below Ra'ot, does it mean that you literally did not see it? Or below Ra'ot is, you know, the figuratively that he didn't see it, meaning that he didn't intend, versus intention here. So here we see Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah takes it literally, right? Biyom Shamo means that he physically heard it. Right, and that blocks him being made for the neder later on when he finds out that this is a neder. Whereas over here by the Summa, he's saying below Ra'ot, we don't take literally below Ra'ot, but we take it to mean figuratively. So why by neder does he take it literally, B'yom Shamo, and over here he takes it figuratively. Whether it's a question of Rabbi Yehuda or not, we'll show tomorrow, we'll discuss that. But that's basically the gist of the Gemara here, and then we'll discuss the deeper the question tomorrow and go into the answer in tomorrow's Gemara.